Hope. Something about the day. We've heard a lot about hope today. You have any hope? You have any real hope? If you do, praise the Lord, where'd you get it? I want some. You got any real hope? Sacrificial hope that comes from Jesus Christ the Lord? That's where real hope comes from, is Jesus Christ our Lord. Hope when you least expect it. That's going to be the theme of the day, is hope. I've heard that a lot today. I've heard it in singing. I've heard it in a Sunday school class. And now we're going to hear it again from the pulpit. So we must need hope today, huh? I'm glad I've got hope. I'm glad that I know Jesus, and He is my great hope. Hope when you least expect it. We're going to talk about the story of Joseph today, which he is not the subject, really. Jesus is, but he plays a part. And sometimes old Joseph gets overlooked. We hear the name a lot, but what was he all about anyway? Well, he had some bleak circumstances. He didn't know what to do. He was betrothed to Mary. Isn't that a nice word? Betrothed. Any of y'all betrothed in here? Why y'all look at me so funny on a Sunday morning? Anybody engaged in here? Everybody got married on us real quick. Huh? Well, he's almost married, so we'll just say he's married. Oh, no, almost. There he is. I finally found him right there. Are you betrothed? Did y'all have this thing where y'all got together and Leslie and Cindy and everybody had this party and the whole town came? Not really, kinda. Joseph, he was a good man, the scripture tells us. And he had hopes and dreams. He was looking at this future, and he had fell in love with this lady, and her name was Mary, and they had all these hopes and these dreams, and man, they were on a roll. They were just thinking, this is wonderful. And here he's going, so happy, and then, just like a snap of a finger, the story changes on us. And Mary says, and by the way, I'm carrying a child. And old Joseph thinks to himself, it takes two to tango. And I wasn't part of the two. Well, you say, preacher, you shouldn't talk like that in church. He said, absolutely not. I've not been there. His hopes, his dreams, everything he's looking forward to, I mean, boom, in a snap of a finger, it all changes. And he says, I know absolutely I'm not the father of this child. So, man, you're talking about a change. It comes quick. Now let's get to the scripture, Matthew 1, 18 through 21 on the screen. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Joseph is minding his own business. He's in a tough spot. He does not know what to do. His world is messy. His world is turned upside down, and that brings us to life sometimes. We're going through life, everything's wonderful, and in a snap of a finger, things change through circumstances of our own. Even we didn't have anything to do with it, so to speak, but circumstances change, and boom, and that's where he's living, beyond his control. He don't understand what's going on here, but he teaches us something, and we can learn from him and how he handled these things. So we look at the trees, and they're beautiful, and the decoration, I told you it'd even be better this week, and poof, there it is. It's nice. Thank you. And sometimes we have the manger scene, we call it, or the nativity scene or whatever, and it's real easy to get in our mind. At the center of that scene is going to be baby Jesus. You know, he's the center, he's the subject, and he's going to be there in the manger or all that kind of thing. And then we're going to have some people around him. Mary's going to be right at his side. And then, you know, the three kings, they're lined up someplace, and a shepherd. There'll be an angel somewhere hovering over above, or you know what I'm talking about. And then old Joseph, he's kind of back there in the back. He had a very important role to play. It's more than a little scene. It's more than putting a donkey and a cow and something out there in that little scene and thinking, well, we've got this Christmas thing. Joseph, he was back in the shadows, kind of, and he was the dad, but he wasn't the dad. And we see the carols, we see the cards, we see the fluff, if you will, of Christmas, and we think, you know, how great that is, and it is great, don't take me wrong, but the story is more than that. The story is deeper than that. They were some hurting people, like Joseph played a big role in this, that he just didn't know what was happening next. He was on a journey. He found his life turned upside down, and he's trying to figure it out. Now, the two things I read normally, well, let me rephrase that. The two main theories that I pick up on, some will say that Joseph was a middle-aged man. First of all, we don't know for sure. You need to remember that. And then the other theory was, no, he was 18, 19, 20. They vary it some. And Mary would be about between 14 and 16. And again, we don't know for sure. But in their day and time, that was about the age of this betrothal business, this engagement period. So here he is. And let's say he's 18. And if Mary's 15, maybe. Young people ready to get married. Hopes, dreams, and all of a sudden they change. Made plans. Good plans. Worthy plans. You know, we make plans. We work hard. We play by the rules. We try to do what's right. And then all of a sudden, we discover what is happening here. What happened? And Joseph has to be thinking those things. What got in the way here? Who dropped the ball? What's happening in this situation? What do I do? Betrothal. A party. Small town. People get together. They have this ceremony. Get engaged, but they don't live together for about a year. That's the way it worked then. And to get out of that, it was like a divorce process. They took it serious. So, what's Joseph going to do? Everybody in the town knows about this thing. How about sexual ethics then and today? The sexual ethics in their day was very, very strict. Should be in our day. But nobody seems to think that anymore. Sex is to be reserved for marriage. That's what was taught. That's what was believed. That's what God had said, and it's still in order today. And why do you think I'm looking at this section? And I'm not just picking on you, but I'm telling you, if you want to live God's way, that's what He said. If you want to start a marriage off in the right way, that's what God has said. So be pure and save yourself to your marriage. So the young women and the young men of that day, they were careful not to cross the line. I wish that was more true in our day and time today. Well, Joseph is a righteous man, this scripture says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He wants to do what's right. He's a righteous man, the scripture says. And he plays by the rules, so to speak, and he does what is right. Good intentions, careful thought. He wants to be faithful. And he knows down deep in his heart, in the back of his mind, he's trying to do what's right. He's a righteous man, but there's this little nagging at him that just says, I absolutely know I'm not the father. So he went through this process. It wasn't an easy process. And here the town knew. So I think he was devastated. I think he was humiliated. I think he's been saying, I'm doing what's right. Now look at this mess that I'm in. So what did Mary have to say? What's she going to say? And then he has this dream. And Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, how would you like to be living in their time? How would you like to be in their shoes? And then the lady in the circumstance say, you know, or you have this dream or what have you, don't worry about it. This is all about the Holy Spirit. So you would shake your head just like he had to shake his head. What are you talking about? So he's still trying to do what's right. Was he mad? At one time, I'm just giving you Ron Leonard's opinion right here now. Yeah, I believe he was. I think he was angry. I think he was humiliated. I think he was sad. I think he had every emotion that we have today, but through it all, he was a righteous man. And through it all, he was trying to serve God. And then this dream comes to him, and he says, "I, what do I do? I feel hopeless." You think he felt hopeless? I think that could be a word we could use, and that's what's wrong with our world today. Hopelessness. There's a lot of people who don't really have true hope. Sunday school class recently has been about joy and happiness and what's the difference. And some people are happy in circumstances, but they change. But the joy of the Lord in our soul gets us through. Hope in what? Do we have to define the word hope? We tried to do that this morning in Sunday school. And what is hope? And what's real hope? And who can provide real hope? Well, Jennifer says to our family that she's going to have another baby. Does that give me joy? Does that give me happiness? Does that give me hope? What's that do? Well, sure, I'm happy about that. And it brings joy. It brings hope. But without the Lord, none of that would be possible. So circumstances change and this, that, and the other. What would he do? How could this happen to me? He might have said. And we've all thought that, if we'd be honest, at some point in time. How did this happen to me? So now what's Joseph do? He makes a choice. We've all got to make choices in life. He makes a choice. He says, I'm going to move forward, in so many words. I'm going to continue to do what's right. And he starts out that way. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm not going to get mad at Mary. I'm not going to get mad at God. I'm not going to blame everybody else around me. I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to move forward. And that's what he does. Grace over judgment. That's what he picks. Peace over conflict. That's what Joseph picks. The angel said, he appeared to him in a dream. Now this is a supernatural thing. And he gives him an encouraging word. An encouraging word. And he hears that encouraging word. Joseph does. Now, okay, we're fast forwarding. Today is the what? Very first day of December, is it? It is, isn't it? Yeah. My watch says the 31st. It didn't go far enough. Wasn't one. We're not Joseph. We're not Mary. But our life gets turned upside down. We don't know what to do in situations. We got a choice to make. Are we in a position to hear from God? Are we in a position to hear from God and what God would say about our situation? It may look hopeless. We might have went through all these things and we could put all kinds of stories in the blank. And what are we going to do? How are we going to react? We're going to make a choice. And I hope we'll do like Joseph and pick grace over judgment and peace over conflict. Joseph's heart was turned toward God. Now today, my heart needs to be turned toward God. Your heart needs to be turned toward God that we can hear what he says. There's all kinds of voices in the world today. Every theory, every vein of thought, man, they're running at super speeds. And you're picking them up whether you think you are or not because you're a human being and you're living in 2019. You better know what's true. You better know where true hope is. Joseph found it. He heard from heaven. He had a word from the Lord, and it changes everything. Changes the outlook. Reassured that God is at work. Reassured that God says it's going to be okay. Look at the screen. You know Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Well, that sounds pretty good today. But what if I was in Joseph's situation, or what if I'm in this situation tomorrow and it don't look too good to me? What am I going to do? I'm going to have to make a choice. To know that God loves me and he's working in my behalf, I have hope in him and he's working things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, whether I see it or not. That's not religious mumbo jumbo. God's working everything out for the good of those who love the Lord. That's not religious mumbo jumbo. That is a truth. That is a promise. That is the word of God, no matter what situation I find myself in. And Joseph picked up on that, and he understood it. Isaiah 7:14 on the screen, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah's original audience right here, they were in a bad time. They were down and out. They were backed into a corner. And now here's this voice. Now Joseph is hearing. And he's beginning to get it. Who Mary is. the mother of Jesus. This Emmanuel, Mary, is carrying God's Son. That's a lot to take in. He's going to be named Jesus. And Joseph and Mary get to play the roles that God ordained for him, them, to play. And here comes Jesus. God himself in human form. Sin is the root of all misery. So this is going wrong, and this is going wrong, or this is going wrong in life, or this is misery right here. Sin's the root of that. Now, you can't misunderstand that, and if something terrible happens to you, so to speak, and you think, well, you know, I must have done something wrong. Well, you could. You search your own heart and know if you did. But sometimes you can be a righteous man like Joseph, minding your own business, and circumstances that are not in your control can change life for you. But the sin of mankind, way back in the fall, is what brings misery. Now, you and I know what it is to fail God. And if we're all honest, we all know what guilt feels like. We all know what shame feels like. Because we've lived in sin, and then we've been saved, and His blood's covered us, and then we continue to live for Jesus Christ, and we make a mistake or two along the way. We do something we shouldn't, and then we know what guilt is or what shame is. And the story goes on. There's good news when we feel that way. And it's just that Jesus came to save us from our sin. And you know, Joseph gets to the point that he buys in. He gets to the point that he believes it. He says, I'm in. I've got the story. I know what I thought at the beginning. I know what I've been through. I know what the messenger from heaven told me. I'm in. Like Jonathan McMillan years ago, thinking of Lauren and different ones, and it's funny how your mind works, and mine works awful funny sometimes. Y'all wouldn't believe that, would you? I thought I'd probably get an amen or something right there. And I can't remember the whole situation, but Jonathan and a bunch of kids, they may have been youth, I don't know, but they were talking about something, and I just happened to walk through at the right time. And Jonathan McMillan, he says, oh, I'm all up in this now. And somebody said, I don't even know what the situation was, but so don't quote me on all this, but it's like it ain't none of your business. And I don't know if that was quoted, and old John is shaking that head, and he's moving around. Oh, I'm all up in this now. Where's he at, Cameron? He's back there somewhere. I hate he's not in here. Oh, I'm all up in this now. And Joseph gets to the point. Joseph says, oh, I'm all up in this now. This is exciting now. I'm beginning to understand. I'm beginning to see the point. You mean that God Himself is going to use somebody like me, and I'm going to have the privilege of raising this boy up to whatever age here, and God's picked me, and God's picked Mary, and guess what? I'm all up in this now. I'm ready to go. It dawns on him. It hits him. And he goes on with a plan, saying, I'm all in. I know Jesus, this Jesus, He's coming to save the world from their sin. He gets it. What an adventure. Here's Joseph. Here's his wife now. And you think, well, he figured that out. Everything's perfect. Nope. all kinds of twists, all kinds of turns that wasn't pleasant at times. They have to travel a long way on foot to Bethlehem. Then another time they have to leave the country like refugees. Everything wasn't perfect for them. Then they had this boy that would go in the temple, and he would outdo the religious leaders, and they're shaking their head. What's this boy doing? But when Joseph said, "I'm in, I'm all in," he took Romans 8:28 to heart. And he said, "I know that God's working things out for my good here. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to live by it and let the adventure begin. God's working things out for my good." Now, Joseph is not the subject of the story. He plays a big part in it, but Jesus is the subject of the story. So, Jesus is the one giving hope. Joseph said, "I'm all in. Oh, I'm all up in this now. I've got it." Have you got it? Have I got it? We're walking through life. We're having twists and turns in life. We'll have some disappointments. We'll have some tough moments. We'll have to make some choices. There'll be things out of our control. So now, is grace and mercy going to be used like Joseph used it, grace and mercy? Or are we going to have conflict and drama and all this? I hate drama, do you? I hate drama. No sense in it. I believe a lot of people love drama today. That's just free. Joseph, he discovered this is true, this is right, this is what I'm a part of now. And yes, it may have some risk. Yes, it may be an unpredictable ride, and I might have ups and I might have downs and all this, but I'll tell you one thing, I've learned that there's hope. I've learned that there's hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ the Lord. I bought into it. I believe it, and there is hope in Jesus. And I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to take the ride of life, ups and downs and all kinds of turns and twists. But I've got hope. I've got the real thing. I've got the one, his name is Jesus Christ, who truly gives me hope. Of hope in this life. He said he wanted me to have an abundant life here even, a more abundant life. And then when my time is called and I die and I go to heaven, or Jesus returns and splits the eastern sky forevermore, I will live with him in heaven, and all the redeemed people will, all the saved people will. So there's much hope. And Joseph, he got it. Jesus came. Old Joseph, he was tore up for a while. Mary didn't understand for a while. But then they got it. All up in this now. I've got it. I'm going to hang on to it. Because I want to live with hope. And Jesus Christ the Lord brings that hope right here, right now, and it will last for all eternity for you and for me. And if you don't have Jesus as your Savior right here and now, I'm talking about the real thing. I'm talking about the real Jesus. I'm not talking about taking a class. I'm not talking about coming to church because your mommy or your daddy wants you to, or grandma said. I'm saying if you have the real deal, if you'll turn your heart to Jesus Christ and say, "Here I am. I know that I need to be saved. I want to turn my life over to you," and you have a genuine, pure heart and say that to Jesus, I guarantee you by the word of God, he will save you from all your sin. And you take hold of this hope. And yeah, life won't be perfect. But even through the ups and the downs, I have a hope within my soul, brighter than the perfect day. Jesus has given us his spirit, and we want the world to hear it. Something else I can't remember. I've been trying to figure that out since Sunday school. I could have looked in the hymn book. I wasn't that smart. We have a hope within our souls, brighter than the perfect day. What's your perfect day in your mind? Think about it for just a minute. What's your perfect day? Get it up there. Oh, I see them. I see some of them. That bunch up there in the mountains at the waterfall. That's old Leslie Scott over there. Over there's old David Shirley. They're just one valley over and don't even know each other's there. Oh, there's Angie and Mary. They're down at the beach, boys, soaking up the sun. I can see them. Clark went with them. And Megan and that boy, I don't know his name. Chase, somebody. Your happy place, where you want to be. You know, you think, man, this is wonderful. There's old Jake up at the mountains, too. I saw him. Ashley. I have a hope within our souls brighter than the perfect day. Jesus has given us his spirit. He's given us his spirit. He's given us this hope through all this we're talking about this month, through this Christmas story, through this Easter story. It's the real deal. And because I accept that real deal, because I can say with old Jonathan McMillan, oh, I'm all up in this now. I believe it. And it's true. And I have a hope brighter than the perfect day. No matter what happens. I told you a few weeks ago that I couldn't imagine the sheriff of our county and how he felt. That's just been on my heart still. But even in it, he has a hope within his soul. Brighter than the perfect day. Jesus has given us his spirit, and we want the world to hear it. All our fears and something gone. What you hope in? We're starting a wonderful season. Advent, Christmas, you know the routine, you know the story, but don't make it routine. Well, I've been a Christian for 853 years. You still got your hope? I ain't never been saved. Get saved. And have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Point blank, period. Stand with me. Our Father, again, how do we begin to thank you enough? How do we begin to comprehend the greatest story on the face of the earth? How do we begin to comprehend the very scripture that you give to man, inspired by you? What a journey. And Father, just as you love Mary and Joseph, you love each person in this room today. You don't care where they've been, what they've done, what people say about them or don't say about them. You are here to save souls today. So if anybody needs to really just come clean and say, here I am, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, I know I need to be saved, would you give them the grace to just say, here I am, Lord, I need to be saved. Christian people, we've been saved. If we're a Christian, we've asked the Lord to forgive us of sin, and we might be in that righteous camp, so to speak, and life might have changed on us. Might have lost a loved one. Kids might not be doing what we want them to do. Life could be tough in some situation that I know nothing about. But you know exactly every detail. So God, we praise you for who you are and how you see in our minds and our hearts today and how you have died, Lord Jesus, that we can have hope. How you came that we could have hope. And then certainly how you died on Calvary's cross to save us. So it's real simple. Here we stand before God. And if there's anything in our hearts today that need to be tended to, altars are open. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that we'll just be real people with a real God today. And whatever we need, may we receive it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.